Hello and welcome to episode number 402 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is March 25th, 2024. I am Rollo McFlugel, and with me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be McFlugel.com/402. Well, before I forget, because this will be the last episode before the holiday, but or the holy day, happy Easter, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hope that your Lent has gone well, has been productive and fulfilling, and it'd be nice to do some celebration.
Yes, indeed.
With it being all over. So,
I hope you haven't been saying Christ is King.
That, so, I've been seeing that on Twitter, and I just feel so out of touch.
I was expecting you to have more on that. I've seen everywhere on Twitter.
Yeah, like.
I don't know. I don't know where it started. I don't know where it came from. Like, why the controversy, the anti-Semitism over Christ is King. I don't get it.
I mean, there might be something to it where it is. I'm sure I wouldn't put it past your typical, you know, Republican Christian, and I put those words in a specific order, for it to, you know, have some sort of like implication or different political meaning. But like, that would have never crossed my mind that it meant something other than just.
I could see it. You know, if you're talking to a Jewish person and they say like, well, I think the minimum wage should be $20 an hour. And you say Christ is King, like that has nothing to do with it other than to get. But.
Yeah, it would be weird.
How is it? I mean, if it's anti-Semitic, like obviously Christianity is not Jewish.
Right.
Like, definitionally so. So if you're like, I don't believe, like, Christ is King, like, obviously Jews say no. You say right. Yes.
Yes, shocking.
Is that if that's anti-Semitic, I have a tough time with this one. Because if you believe in Christianity, if you believe it is true, then you're an anti-Semite, okay?
Yeah, but
I believe they're wrong.
I don't think a lot of Christians actually believe it's true.
I try not to judge motivation as much as possible. Like, I think the Jews are wrong.
Sure.
I think the Protestants are wrong. Yeah. I think Muslims are wrong, right? Like, is that controversial?
It shouldn't be, but it is because, yeah. I mean, what's most of the culture, even among a lot of Catholics, is just like, well, you have your religion, I have my religion,
yes.
And you know, we should be able to get along with that, and it's what's good for you is good for you. It's such like milquetoast laziness, cowardice of being like, do you actually believe or don't?
It's a club. It's a club that I'm a member of. It's like, I'm a Phillies fan, you're a Padres fan, but hey, we all like baseball, right?
Right. And you know, it's not that you should be attacking people,
right,
over it, but
I'm not going to pretend they're right or
well. And that's we've talked about it before. A couple months ago when Ben Shapiro had like an interview or something and he gave his opinion on Jesus and yeah. he was just like, yeah, he was just kind of a guy who was a pain in the butt to the Romans. And so they killed him. And, you know, and was it on Joe Rogan? And Joe Rogan was like, what do you think that he
I
was like?
I think it was on Joe Rogan. Yeah.
It's like, do you think he was like,
a prophet.
I forget exactly what he asked him, but like, do you think he was a prophet, sent by God or whatever? And Shapiro's like, no, I don't. And you have all these, you know, right wing Christians, you know, clutching their pearls over it and like, I can't believe that Ben Shapiro would deny Jesus. And it's like,
like he wears a yarmulke.
Does anyone not know he's Jewish? Like, of all the things I'm going to criticize Ben Shapiro for, now, obviously, I think he's wrong about.
I was going to say, I'll criticize him for that, too, but.
But I'm not going to.
But I expect nothing less of him. In fact, right, I wish Catholics would take, like, what I can appreciate in Ben Shapiro is he said he didn't dance around it and say, well, I know that a lot of Christians really hold Jesus Christ in high regard and think that he is even a Messiah, but the Jewish faith does not believe. Like, he didn't dance around it. He just came out and said it. I can appreciate that.
Yes, so that was my
point. I wish Catholics would do that. I wish Bishop Barron would do that when he talked to Ben Shapiro.
Right.
When Ben Shapiro asked if he should convert to Catholicism. There's only one answer, really, anyone should give, but especially a bishop. And it's one word, and it's yes. But he did a little song and dance and walked all around it and talked about the preferred. And it's just like, just say yes.
Right.
So I can appreciate that about Ben Shapiro, I guess.
Well, and that's the and it says in the Bible, like, be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, actually believe something.
Yeah.
If you're at least if you're claiming to believe it. Now, you know, you shouldn't just go have strong opinions about stuff you don't know anything about or don't really care about, but I mean, if you're professing a religious faith.
Yep.
You should believe it. Yeah, but, I mean, that's the problem with so much. I mean, we bring up the we both listened to the recent Michael Knowles podcast where he had Pearl.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was really frustrating.
Yeah. And it was the goofy thing was that at one point she goes, oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. And he goes, oh, that's great. And then all through the episode, she's saying stuff like, oh, well, your little religion. And I think she was meaning that, like, more as a way to give her the benefit of the doubt, more as a way to not that wasn't her directly saying that, more like that's how people are going to react to what Knowles was saying. Although I think it was kind of her saying that, too. But, like, just, like, shock at a lot of things that Knowles would say that was just him following standard Catholic teaching. And she's like, I can't believe you think that. Right. He's like, well, what am I supposed to think? Like about divorce and about,
his own,
and prenups.
Yeah.
That she was basically called him stupid pretty much for saying that he didn't believe in having a prenup.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even take that much, because I remember when I was young, I was talking to my mom. I probably was like an early teen. I had probably just heard of the concept of a prenup agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that makes sense. Not really thinking about it. And I said something to that effect to my mom. And she's like, are you kidding me? Like, no, you can't have a prenup if you're going to get married, because that means you're planning on an out.
Yep.
And I went, oh, yeah, okay, no, that makes sense. it was just goofy. And so you have someone that says, I'm Catholic. You know, how many times is she sit there in that podcast saying, I'm Catholic, I'm Catholic, I'm Catholic, and then explicitly deny her Catholic faith?
Yeah, really bad catechesis.
Yeah, and it's just a shame that we have so many people out there that think they're a certain religion or religious, and but they think that it's like an a la carte thing, and they think that, like.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, again, I don't know Pearl. I don't listen to her stuff. It wouldn't shock me if she it's not like, I don't think she says, I was raised Catholic, but I'm not really Catholic. I think she says I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would admit she's not as religious as Michael Knowles is. Like, I'm Catholic, but I'm not like Michael Knowles. But that's the problem.
Well, it seemed like she was trying to play up like.
Yeah, like, I'm on your side here. I'm a Catholic, too, just like you are. And you're saying this, but I live in reality.
Yeah. So and I want to hear your perspective on it, because you are more into the. You attend traditional Latin Mass regularly, and it's, you know, you're part of your parish and all that stuff. The way she was referring to the Latin Mass and the traditional Catholics like I was dying of cringe.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, man, you just like, it seems like you just know these people exist and kind of know the terms.
Yeah, I don't think exactly like because she was saying, now I'm trying to remember specifically, but I think she was talking about like, I grew up with a girl who went to very traditional Catholic, went to Latin. I doubt that.
Yeah.
And it's not fair for me to say that because I don't know, but I just highly doubt what she was describing is not my reality or what I see in our parish.
It's not even what I see as an outsider. I call myself an outsider, but someone who's in a Latin traditional Latin mass parish, but will attend on occasion. And that's the first thing I notice is how different it feels in a very good way, that, you know, the way that these families are presenting themselves. You can tell it's different. You can tell there's something more there than an average family or person. It doesn't mean it's going to have a perfect outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't know, like, I don't know what my kids are going to grow up to be. All I can do is the best that I can do and put them around people, you know, who I like, who I want them to emulate. And we get that at our parish. And I can't remember exactly what she was saying, but I'm trying. Do you remember exactly what it was? Because I remember her saying this, and I'm thinking she clearly doesn't know what these people are like.
Oh,
and I wouldn't be shocked if what she meant by real traditional Catholic was this girl had parents who go to mass all the time and, you know, are Catholics and believe. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say she didn't. I just don't think she really knows what a Latin mass community is like.
No.
Yeah. Which most people don't, because it's a small minority of Catholics. It's a tiny minority of Catholics.
And again, if you're, I like you said, I don't follow her at all, so I don't know what her life is actually like or anything.
Right.
But she seems very internet focused.
Yeah. So she probably gets I don't know. She claims she grew up with a girl who got married young and divorced, and they were real traditional. That would really surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying it's impossible that it happened. It would just really, really surprise me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the points Michael Knowles was making was, and he wasn't, I don't even think he was talking about, he was talking about people who attend mass weekly. I think their divorce rate is way lower. I don't think he was even talking about the subset of like Latin mass goers.
Right. Or was it even just people who just refer to themselves as Catholic?
Yeah. It might've just
not even people that are actually practicing. Yeah.
And
that was the frustrating thing too, is that she seemed pretty incapable of, you know, dealing with the ceteris paribus condition. That it's like, okay, like all else, if you do this thing, you are less likely to get divorced.
She couldn't wrap her mind around that
point
at all. Like, it wasn't there. It just didn't register. Like, she didn't dispute it. Like, it just didn't hit.
And then the other thing, and I don't want to make this about that. I don't want to have this, but the other thing that was really goofy, one of the other things was, now I just forgot what I was going to say. I say what is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying what man should do. That's like, And then she was like, oh, well, you think you know? And he goes, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But like, you should, like, going back to the being lukewarm versus, you know, hot or cold. Like, if you know, we do it all the time on this podcast. We tell people what they should do. Doesn't mean we're out there. Here's the thing. We're libertarians. So we also recognize that while we can tell you what you ought to do or what you should do, we're not going to like force you to do it.
And that's where I think I can't remember exactly what I texted you, but I said like my opinion of her increased or improved, or I actually like her better than I did previously. Because I thought she was sincere. I didn't think she was like just putting on a show or an act, as bad as it was. I thought it was a good insight into the way she and a lot of people think. I mean, she's pretty popular.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of what I've been complaining about with that kind of
red pill.
Yeah, that it's just there's nothing actually to it. It's the horseshoe of the left because they're basically the same thing. There's no substance to it.
When she said she thought this was scoring points, when she said, I don't want to tell people how to live, like that, she thought that was like a good, like, you know, I'm not going to impose my views. I don't want to tell people what to do. And he wasn't like, yeah, well, we shouldn't tell. Like, he came back, like you just said, and said, no, I am. I know what you should do. And that, like, most people don't talk like she doesn't come across that. She thinks it's like, you score points when you say, I don't want to tell people how to live, but
right,
she was just so far off, even though all she was doing was telling people how to live and what to mm-hmm. do. She didn't even realize that. And he kept calling her out on that. And she would like try to back out of it somehow. I'm not telling them what to do. I'm just saying what I think might be the best way. Like, she would dance around it. But
yeah, it was just silly and painful. And credit to Michael Knowles for having such patience.
I mean, he's a saint with those patients, that patience, man.
Yeah, because I
wouldn't have been able to do it.
Well, I had an opportunity to have some patience this weekend. I didn't totally mess it up, but I realized something. I was at a little kid's birthday party on Saturday evening, and I get there, and you know, I know a lot of the people there, and I'm kind of the Bitcoin guy to a lot of these people. So I walk in, and you know, the first thing is, Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. All right, I'm real happy to talk about it. But then there's this other guy, friend's wife's co-worker's husband starts, you know, I guess he hears that, you know, that people look at me and talk about Bitcoin, and he starts talking about this Pi coin thing.
Oh, so you bought Pi coin. You're a Pi coin max. Yeah, got it.
That, you know, it's all, I can just mine it on my phone, don't do anything. It's great. And I got made it, I mined it at this and sold it at that. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, cool, man. I'm like, the only thing I mess with is Bitcoin. So, and I think a lot of people, including myself, when presented in a situation like that, would think that I would have been, all right, let's argue, let's talk through this, argue about it, blah, blah, blah. Let's have a debate. But man, I just had like absolutely no desire to have a conversation, and I hope I didn't come across as being like too dismissive or something, but it was just boring. Like I was standing there like holding my coat, like I just want to put my coat down and you know, get something to eat. Kind of like
you really got to be in the right frame of mind to have those kind of discussions.
And it was just painful. It's like, it's funny because this goes to show, I think, how far people are, like how so early we still are, and how people have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is it like I have not heard of PiCoin before. I've never heard of it. I don't know anything about it.
You should check it out.
It wasn't even that. He was just kind of like excited to talk about it. I'm just like, I'm not the guy. You might as well have like the great grandmother there started talking to her about it, because that's about the same level of interest. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think people just can't kind of distinguish between Bitcoin and all this kind of other stuff. We did like kind of talk a little bit more about stuff, because I was like, yeah, man, I'm just like really, the Bitcoin's the only thing I care about. I think it's the only thing that's going to have any sort of value over time. And then he said something like, oh, well, you know, with the mining algorithm and everything, that eventually, you know, it's going to become so difficult to mine that no computer is going to be capable of solving a block. And I just went, because he threw in a lot of jargon together with that, too, and sounded like it was very confident in what he was saying. And I just said, like, there's the difficulty adjustment. And he goes, well, no, there's blah, blah. And he goes, oh, well. Oh, I guess, yeah, I guess they would just drop the number down to, okay. Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but PyCoin.
But it's just goofy because, like, he was there, like, standing there pretty convinced that, like, Bitcoin was just going to, just, like, the gears are going to seize up. And then just something so basic to say, just like, yeah, the difficulty algorithm. Okay, yeah. And then he said something else like, well, but then, you know, you're going to run out of Bitcoin to mine. I'm like,
right.
Yeah, but the miners will get the transaction fees.
Sure. But will they be?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And it's like, is it just you think I'm an idiot and you're trying to be friendly and have a conversation and not be just totally dismissive? Or it's goofy because people do this all the time. With everything, but especially with Bitcoin, they'll see that it's got a there's going to be only ever 21 million Bitcoin mined, and eventually that'll stop. And then they go, oh, well, if there's no more Bitcoin to be mined, then it's just going to stop. And it's like, you didn't think that any of us considered that?
Yeah.
Or we're aware of it? Or the fact that we constantly talk about the hard supply cap? It's just... It's so
well, I wonder how, I mean, he's probably, I don't know this guy. I don't know what his deal is. Probably doesn't really follow any of this closely.
No, but it was just interesting to me the way some people, because they know a little bit about it, they're into the whatever little altcoin they have. They've probably bought Bitcoin and, you know, did a little bit of research. And they just the level of confidence they have.
Yeah,
is insane. And then he started talking about, well, I think that like Ethereum is going to be the silver to Bitcoin's gold, and then you'll have like Litecoin be the copper. I just like, how? Why? I'm like, I think
money's wires, or what are you going to do with it?
I said money's a winner take all game. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah,
no,
I said,
totally.
Right.
Agree.
So if Bitcoin becomes the money, then what is the purpose of something like a Litecoin? And he goes, well, there is no purpose. There would be no purpose. I said, okay, so its value would go to zero. And it's kind of got a blank stare.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not trying to like, you know, really pick on this guy, but it's just, I think it's interesting that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is where we're still at. It's so early. I mean, we hit it at the all time high, and it looks like we're kind of going back in that direction. There is just so much money in Bitcoin. It's becoming institutionalized, and with you know these ETFs and big players getting involved, and you know Michael Saylor just continues to just eat up any available supply. Mm-hmm. And El Salvador has made it legal tender, and they're using and they're doing cold storage for. You know, for as part of their treasury for the country, and you've got BlackRock and all this stuff going on, and it's just, I'm trying to get in the frame of mind of people who are kind of normies on the outside looking at it, and
stuff.
Because even someone that was there at the party that I talked to that bought Bitcoin, I talked to him about Bitcoin. First thing he said was, oh, I sold my Bitcoin at 73,000. I'm like, oh, why'd you do that? You know, kind of just messed around. Goes, oh, I'm just kidding. I didn't sell. I'm like, oh, that's good.
Cool.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't care if someone sold their Bitcoin. I was like, oh, that's kind of stinks for you, but, you know, whatever. But it was interesting to me because I hadn't had a, like, kind of real life Bitcoin conversation in a while, or not Bitcoin, but kind of the altcoin and that kind of stuff. And because in my past, I've been more aggressive about it. But this time, I just didn't care at all.
Do people still talk about the next Bitcoin, or is that ship kind of sailed?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that in a while.
I don't really think so. A lot of it, I have a coworker who's involved in this like Avalanche coin or something, and he's kind of, he basically admits that it's a, he's just, it's a scam and that he's in early. I'm like, why are you involved in a scam? Why, like, it's fraud. And he kind of, well, buyer beware. And it's like, well, that's not, that's really not great, dude. Yeah. You shouldn't do that. It is a scam. I'm being Pearl. I'm telling you what it is, and then I'm being Michael Knowles. And you should not do that.
That's right.
It's wild though, because like, have you had a lot of people ask you about Bitcoin recently, even though it hit an all-time high and the price is going insane?
Usually people just, I mean, they usually comment on it. They're not asking a lot of Bitcoins out, you know. That's mostly what I'm getting.
I did have someone at work and in like a meeting. I forget what was even said, but someone made a joke about Bitcoin to me. And like, it was funny because it was talking about money stuff.
Yeah.
And, so it was good that it was like on that person's head.
I did
even bring up Bitcoin.
Came up on a call at work maybe a week or two ago, and I was like, "Oh, and you guys in Bitcoin?" Or, you know, and both other people on the call said, "No, they never bought any." Don't really know how to. So what I like about that is, I mean, not necessarily like it, but it's just, we're so early.
Yes. And that's hard for people to understand and to hear because, and we've probably talked about it on the show before, but I say it all the time, is that, you know, Bitcoin's going to shoot through the roof and you're going to have people say, man, I should have listened to you before. I should have bought Bitcoin. And you're going to say, it's still early. You should still buy it. And they go, huh. And walk away.
Yep.
Because this has happened over the last however many cycles we've been involved in. It's the same thing over and over again. I just don't think, and I will give my thesis, because I enjoy talking about Bitcoin and I enjoy talking about Get on Zero. I will happily give my thesis on what I think Bitcoin is and why I'm dumping fiat in favor of doing Bitcoin. And people are just kind of like, wow, that's crazy. I think it's so difficult for people to grasp the idea of money and that it could be something else.
It doesn't even like enter the psyche.
Well, it's like when we were doing Bitcoin Trickle, and the first thing we asked was like, one of the first little emails we sent was, define money.
Yeah.
And you can't say, well, it's the stuff in my pocket. Like, give me a definition, a generic definition of money. And I don't think most people, if you had 10 random people and you asked that question, how many people do you think could answer it?
One.
Maybe.
That I was going to say zero, but there's got to be someone who should answer it.
Right. and that's not to say, I'm saying this not because he's like, oh, look, everyone's stupid. No, it's because it's just, you never have to really think about it.
We don't think about it and we don't learn about it. And, you know,
you shouldn't have to think.
It's not a thought.
You shouldn't have to think about it. And I was talking to a guy at this little kid's birthday party has so much fodder for this show. But I was talking to another guy I know, and he was, you know, he's kind of struggling to get by and everything. And he's talking about, I'm, you know, doing the I think he was calling it Doge coin or something.
Yeah, nice.
And talking about the stocks and everything he's playing and everything else. And Then you hear about how he's kind of struggling to make ends meet. And I feel bad because he's a guy that would benefit so much from hard money.
Yeah.
Because he's a great dude, but he's not that well equipped to be able to go out and speculate well. And when he goes and does it, it's largely just a casino. And it's tough to get ahead and get by, and it ends up, you know, maybe he's going to get aggressive and then throw his money into something that seems like it's, you know, going to hit the moon, but you know, there's high risk with that, and he's going to get wiped out. Whereas if he could just make money and accumulate savings by just holding money, he'd be so much better off. Mm-hmm. And he'd be able to, instead of spending time, you know, reading Yahoo News and looking at your stock portfolio and reading up on all the tips and everything, he'd be doing something else, something better, maybe something more productive. Maybe he's got more energy to actually work longer hours or something. Well, because of the fiat system and inflation, he has to do stuff like this just to keep up. It's terrible. I was like sitting with him and hearing all this stuff, and I just like felt awful. But like, and I could say like, oh man, you should just have Bitcoin. But it's so difficult for anyone to get into a mindset where we're not just absolutely crazy.
Where the price goes, even though we've been talking about it for a decade almost.
No matter how many times they, you know, they debate us and argue with it about it, and they know that they don't have, like, we have answers for everything, that we can respond to every objection that they have. And we've been right about Bitcoin, right about so much stuff. It's still just, I think it's kind of comical to a lot of people. Not that they're like mocking us, but it's just like, oh, wow, that's, huh. Man, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, huh?
Yeah.
And but at the same time, it's funny because people have this expectation that Bitcoin's still going to go through the roof. Or at least that's how I perceive how a lot of people think about it and look at it.
I mean, I remember telling still certain not people when it was $1,000 that it's still early, and they're like, yeah.
But even people will acknowledge, it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, Bitcoin's probably going to go crazy. That's like, well, then why don't you put money into it? And I think that the answer that they would say was like, well, it's volatile.
Yeah, right.
Well, don't try to trade it. Use it as a long-term investment. A long-term speculation. Buy some Bitcoin and then don't think about it or touch it for 5 years. See where it is. I don't know if people just can't think about, you know, saving money that far into the future, or they don't have. They simply just can't afford to sock money away for that long. I don't know what it is. But it feels, I don't know, it's just, it's strange.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I'm not like saying, oh, these are just dumb people. There's plenty of intelligent people that are like this. And it's funny because when someone actually gets it, they start buying Bitcoin and they start trying to accumulate it. I have a former coworker I still keep in touch with, that we used to argue about Bitcoin and stuff. He was like gold and precious metals and stuff. And I think he had some Bitcoin. He liked to play around with it, but he was just like, yeah, whatever. I'm just trying to trade it. And we had enough conversations about it. And it was funny because the discussions I would have with him were actually very enjoyable, because he would actually say intelligent things that I couldn't just respond to with like, well, the difficulty adjustment is there for that. Like it took more in depth than and was actually there. He actually challenged some things, and it was pretty fun. But eventually, like, I guess I convinced him enough that he started, you know, really piling more in. Yeah, he started getting into Bitcoin and piling into it. And I think that's the only thing. If you understand money and you understand what's going on, what else do you do?
No,
it's kind of insane to do anything else or to sit on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So. Sorry. Just reading an email from work that popped up. Anyway. I don't know. We got a late start tonight, Slappy.
We did.
Still working long hours. I want to go to bed.
Oh, we're 35. Wow. We already did 35 minutes, too.
Yeah. Big news. The playoffs for my fantasy hockey league started.
Oh, yeah? That's big.
I was the fourth seed.
You have Tyson Forrester?
I do not. I did pick up Sam Harrison right before he became the starter.
Nice.
And so that's been good because I've been struggling with goalies over the past few years. Way back in the day when I started in this league, it's a keeper league. And we've been doing it over 10 years, I think. And I grabbed Evgeny Nabokov of the San Jose Sharks. And man, it was awesome because the Sharks back then just won. They won so many games, and Nabokov would start at least 60 games a year. And then he retired, I guess. I think I got Corey Crawford on the Blackhawks, and that's when they were winning. And then it's just been a real struggle. Find a goalie that's going to sustain. And then I got Philip Grubauer. And he was on the Avalanche. And I'm like, the Avalanche are going to be a really good team for a while. And then he gets traded. I think he got traded. Or if he was let go as part of the expansion draft to the Seattle Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, So his value went down. So maybe Sam Harrison's my the guy for the future for me. I hope so.
Well, good luck to you.
Yes, thank you. So, all right. That's all I got, Slappy. You have anything else?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.